Be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? Last couple of weeks, I felt like, man, my preaching stunk. That's just how I felt. I don't know what it was about, but I've been praying, you know, Lord, help me to be a better communicator. Help me to be able to, you know, flow with your spirit and whatnot. You know, the messages that I had, Jesus becoming poor so that we could become rich. You know, it struck my heart in just a powerful way, and I don't believe I was able to communicate that properly to you. I was really excited about it, but I don't know if anybody was excited when they left that week. But, you know, what a demonstration of how, you know, we should be willing to deplete ourselves for the benefit of others. And so just keep that in mind. You know, when he became poor for our sake so that we could become rich, He gave up all that he had so that we could have what he had. And you know, spiritually speaking, I really have a desire for people to have what I have. And I believe I have really good things. You know, my faith is strong. I have joy. I've learned how to overcome obstacles in such a way that, you know, I don't get all weighed down with the stuff of life. And you know what I'm talking about, being weighed down with the stuff of life. And just there's a freedom in trusting God. You know that song that we just sang, you know, we put our trust in you. There's a freedom in that. You know, we talked about this last Wednesday night, the idea of, you know, not carrying things that we shouldn't be carrying. And so, you know, hopefully as, you know, I continue going forward in my walk with God, you know, I'll be able to demonstrate what Jesus demonstrated in that what I have, you know what, I will lay it down so that you can have it. And just that type of thing. Last week we talked about, I got a PowerPoint. Almost forgot. Last week we talked about, that was Jesus becoming poor. You know, the angel, the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, Jesus being born of the seed of the Holy Spirit. And really the whole point in that, and one of the reasons why I wanted to discuss that, was because I have found it to be a valuable tool in witnessing. You know, I'm learning to grasp, you know, just a better understanding of the cross and why Jesus had to go to the cross, and why, you know, he had to be born of a virgin, and why he had to be of the seed of the Holy Ghost instead of the seed of Adam. The thing of it is, if Jesus was born like the rest of us, you know, the Bible says that we're all born sinners. You know, it says all have sinned. And we're born with it because we're of the seed of Adam. Well, if Jesus was of the seed of Adam, he would have been born with the same sin nature that we have, and therefore he would have had to die for himself. He wouldn't have been able to die for us. And so he was eligible to take on our sin because he didn't have the seed of Adam in him. Now, he did suffer with every temptation that we've suffered with, but he didn't fail to it. He could have. Being born through Mary made him fully flesh, fully man, which means he very well could have and very well was tempted with all the things we were tempted with, but he didn't sin. And therefore, he was eligible to take on our sin. And I just find that to be just a powerful principle, the reason why Jesus was able to do that, and why it had to be him, and why he had to do it the way he had to do it. You know, the idea, why the cross? I asked that many, you know, for many years, why the cross? And I didn't pull it up, but there's a verse that talks about that. And the reason for it is because God is just. You know, how would it be fair if God was to condemn us all to death, which we are? How could that be fair? We were born with a death sentence on our head from birth. And so how is it that fair that none of us can go to heaven when he allowed us to be born with sin already? Well, the only way it's fair is if he comes down and dies for us himself. If he's, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not going to ask you to do something I won't do myself. And so Jesus came and he died. That's why he had to go to the cross. That's why his blood had to be shed. His blood had to be shed because the life is in the blood. And when it takes blood to pay for sin, the wages of sin is death. And that's why all those animals in the Old Testament had to die and be slaughtered, and all the blood, because it was the pouring out of the blood that was the payment for sin, the penalty. And so all of that. And so anyway, you know, the idea of Jesus being born of the Holy Seed, and you know, understanding the power in that moment when Jesus showed up, when God, the Holy Spirit, showed up and said to Mary, "You're going to conceive of the Holy Spirit." It's just awesome. And there's so much more I can talk about that, but I want to move on. Today I want to talk about the importance of becoming a good soldier in the army of God, able to stand in the heat of battle. Now, we have some military people here, and you understand a lot of things about how the military works and functions and the importance of doing your part. Because if you don't do your part, the whole unit struggles, right? And so I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, if you want to turn there. I do have the verses there. But I do encourage you to turn there. I like to preach from the New King James. I may end up changing that somewhere in the future. I've been talking to some different ones who know, who are fluent in Greek and Hebrew, and they encourage the NIV. Believe it or not, the NIV runs really close to, as close as any, probably better than even the King James Version of the Bible when it comes to translation. And Pamela's smiling back there because I've always, you know, thrown the NIV under the bus. But you know, I can't do that anymore. but anyway, I have the New King James up there, which I still enjoy reading and preaching from. But you may have a different translation, and that's why I encourage you to, when I put scriptures up, to look them up in your Bible, because your translation might say it in a better way. And so anyway, what it says in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Father, I thank you for your word, how powerful and true it is. And I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts today and change our lives. Bless each one who hears. Bless each one, God, that we would become the soldiers that you have enlisted. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now you could, you know, strong in the grace. Paul encouraging Timothy to be strong in the grace. You can train, you know, you could interpret what he's saying to Timothy there in many different ways. You know, perhaps the idea that, you know, I don't know what Timothy's life was before he came to know Christ. Maybe he was, you know, a rampant sinner like most of us were before we came to Christ. And so maybe he struggled with the idea that, and this is just, you know, speculation, who knows, maybe he struggled with the idea that, you know, I was such a sinner, I don't know that I could really be the person God wants me to be. You know anybody like that? I know some. And so perhaps Paul is encouraging him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, because it's God's grace that puts all of that behind us. Puts all of that behind us. So that we can step up and be who it is he called us to be. Yes, I was that, but you know what? I'm not that anymore. Because there is grace, and it's found in Jesus Christ. And so be strong in that. Maybe he was talking to Timothy and you know, asking him to be strong in the grace in the Lord that is in Christ Jesus when it pertains to other people. You know, we all have other people in our lives that just drive us crazy. But you know what? God's grace is for them too. And so however it is that Paul was, you know, whatever it is that Paul was trying to communicate to Timothy when he said, "Be strong in the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus," you know, that's something that we should, in our own lives, just be fully aware of and you know, think about that. Do not let your past sins keep you from doing the great and awesome things that God has planned for you to do. And do not let past sins of others, or even current sins of others, you know, keep you in offense with others, but rather have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for them. You know, one thing that Jesus said more than once, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the truth of it is, you know, most people, when they're against us, it's because they really don't know. They really don't know. And so we need to have that grace for them. Verse 2 says, "And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Well, what things? Well, if you take your Bible, excuse me? Yes, the gospel. Well, if you take your Bible and you open it up at Acts, and you hold, you know, everything in your fingers that goes all the way to Revelation, you're going to find the things that Paul talked about to many witnesses. You know, the book of Acts, there's a lot of the things that Paul did there. The book of Romans, the book of Corinthians, and Ephesians, and Galatians, and letters to Timothy, and letters to Titus, and letters to Peter, and Philemon, and all those things Jesus or Paul talked about, and he was explaining to Timothy, look at you, these things that you've heard, commit these things to faithful men. And so that should encourage us to read our Bibles. You know, it's important to know what is in there. It's important to know what it says. And you'll understand, if you start to read the things that Paul was sharing, when you read the letters, you know, of that Paul had written to the churches and to the other individuals that he was training up, everything he says lines up with the four Gospels. It's just awesome how God, you know, orchestrated the Word, the Bible, and how we have it in our hands. But he says, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Who are the faithful men that he's talking about? You and I. He's telling Timothy to commit the things that you've learned to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Think about that for a moment. Are you to a place in your walk with Christ where you can take what you've learned and teach it to somebody else? See, that's important. That's not just for the pastor to do. That's not just for the you know, the leaders to do. You know, the elders and the deacons and you know, anyone who holds position. It's not just their job. It's all of our job. We need to be able to teach to others the things that we learn from God. It's important. And I'm so grateful for the people who taught me. Before I came to Christ, there were people in my life that were teaching me things. That's how I came to Christ. And you have loved ones, you have friends, you have neighbors, co-workers, enemies. You have people that need to be taught the things of God. Are you able to teach them? If not, then we need to really think about our walk with God. And maybe take a little step deeper. You know, I don't know. I wish I had the verse. Something just popped in my mind. There is a verse that talks about ever learning but never obtaining. And so we have to, you know, get to that place where we obtain what we've learned and then be faithful about teaching it to others. You know, that's how the church grows. You know that? That's how the church grows. When faithful men take the things that they've been taught and then teach that to others. And so think about that. Now, you, therefore, verse 3, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Anybody like that verse? You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me ask a question of the men in here and the women in here who have been in the military. When you were in the military, did you endure some hardship? yeah. Harley's like, nah, nah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Because you left your families, that's a hardship for many. You went through, well, it might be a joy for others, but I don't know. You left your families, you were put in strange places with strange people, you had to get up at different hours that you weren't comfortable with, you had to eat stuff that you weren't so comfortable with, you had to run through stuff and claw through stuff that you weren't comfortable with, you had to endure some hardship. And those of you who are going through it today versus those who went through it 20, 30, 40 years ago, you guys are cream puffs. Just ask them. They'll tell you. You know the thing where you crawl into the barbed wire and they're shooting rounds over you? When my dad went through the Marines, they were shooting live rounds over you. And there were men that died because they panicked and stood up. Yeah, they don't do that anymore. Dave knows what I'm talking about. They didn't mess around. Yeah. Yeah. I'm hearing some of the men who've been through some stuff and they're like, yeah, that's real. That's real. Every fifth round was a tracer, just to remind you to keep your head down, right? Because that's real stuff. But we, as believers in Jesus Christ, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, understand we're going to endure some hardship. Is there a believer in here who hasn't ever had any hardship to have to endure? I don't think so. And so now, all of a sudden becoming, you know, being a Christian, all of a sudden being somebody who follows and is committed to Jesus Christ, it's not all just fun and game. I would love it if all we had to do as believers is show up here on Sunday morning and shake people's hands and hug people's necks and listen to some music and worship and sing songs and have cake and that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? But it's not always that easy. We go through some stuff. And you know, any soldier who's been to war, you know why the VA has all those men that are confined there? Because they can't deal with life. They, you know, the PTSD stuff that's going on all around. Because, you know why? Because they dealt with some hardship. And you know what? I've been finding, that's one reason Celebrate Recovery, because there are Christians who've dealt with some hardship and they're suffering from spiritual PTSD. And so we need to be, you know, that type of soldier that knows we're going to deal with some stuff and is able to handle it, is able to stand. Therefore, you, therefore, must endure hardship. Well, you know, hardship in war is one thing, but hardship in as a believer, sometimes it's, you know, war is you could physically be damaged for life. When you talk about spiritual battle, I know some people that are spiritually damaged for life. They need to be healed. Guess what? We have an enemy that wants to destroy us. And there's going to be some hardship along the way. And so we need to be able to stand. You know, I wish I had it. There's a video that I watched. I posted it online. I shared it. I found it. Somebody shared it. I shared it. About this guy who just went through this unbelievable. He went in and save this bunch of guys that were pinned down in battle, and he was shot many times, and he went in even to drag the dead in, and you know he wasn't going to leave anybody behind, and when it was all said and done, he was holding his own intestines in his hands when he jumped into the helicopter, and when the helicopter landed where it was landed, they found that, you know, because he was delirious, he was out, you know, because of all the loss of blood and everything, and he was trying to save everybody he could save. And when they landed the plane, it was overloaded with people because he had even some of the enemy in there, because when he was just grabbing dead people, he didn't want to leave anybody behind. If he found somebody on the ground, he picked them up and threw them in a helicopter. And the story is just unbelievable. That man, I mean, if we're going to be a soldier, I want to be the kind of soldier that can go out there and fight the fight and wipe out the enemy, but also help my own guys as well. And then be able to stand when it's all said and done. And not be, you know, not have to struggle with all the mental issues and with all the suffering that a lot of our men of war have to suffer. I want to be one who stands in the end. But you know what? I'm going to have to take some scars. I'm going to have to take some wounds. I'm going to be able to, sometimes I may have to hold my own inner self together just to get through. We're going to go through some hardship. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself, verse 4, with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Think about this for a moment. If you're out on the battlefield, and the enemy is right over there, and they're shooting at you, and you're shooting at them, and you got all these guys that are relying on you to hold your ground and to hold your post and to keep doing what you need to do. The last thing they need you to do is to pull out your iPhone and say, "Oh, what's going on back home?" You can't be entangled with the things of this life if you're in a war. And guess what, Christian? We are in a war. And unfortunately, you know, Christmas was wonderful, wasn't it? We all got stuff. I don't know how joyful that was. We all got this stuff. And, you know, most of us, probably myself included, getting tangled with these things in the world when, you know what? It's Christmas. This is about Jesus Christ. It's about him being born so that he could die so that we could be saved. Think about this. Are we too entangled in the affairs of this life to be productive for the kingdom of God, to be that warrior that the kingdom of God needs us to be? Are we too entangled with the things of this world, the affairs of this life? You can answer that for yourself. I'm not pointing any fingers. I have to ask myself this question. You know, I ask myself sometimes, God, what do I have to do to take another step forward? What do I have to do to be closer to you? What do I have to do to have more of your spirit and your power flowing through me? What do I have to do to be able to lay the hands on a sick and see him instantly healed? I'd like to walk into that hospital room and put my hand on Sonny's knee and see it just miraculously heal. Well, I know this. I can't be entangled with the affairs of this life if I'm going to be focused on being a soldier for Jesus Christ. I got a message on the answering machine in there that I need to answer. Hospital called. They have somebody, they're looking for a pastor to go give somebody the last rites. As soon as we're done with this service, I'm going to call the hospital. Hey, is that still, I don't even know what day it was they left the message, but if it's still somebody, I'm going to go there. Because I need to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Now, a good soldier goes through basic training. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Basic training. Every soldier that goes to war goes through basic training. Why? Because you need to know how to fight. You need to know how to protect yourself. You need to know how to wipe out the enemy. You need to know what to do if your buddy falls. And guess what? Basic training isn't any fun. It shouldn't be. I don't know. No, actually, as Harley said, Harley mumbled something. They make you get up when you don't want to get up. They don't let you go to sleep. and when you want to go to sleep. They feed you stuff that you don't want to eat. They make you walk and run farther than you want to walk and run. They make you do push-ups when you don't want to do push-ups. They make you do sit-ups when you don't want to do sit-ups. I tried to do a sit-up the other day. I'm like, wow, I am out of shape. Oh, God. They make you climb ropes. They make you run over logs. They make you crawl through the mud. They make you swim through water that you don't know what's in there. And then you better be able to clean that gun and take it apart, put it back together, and make it happen within less than, like, I don't know if it's 30 seconds or 60 seconds, because you got to be able to fight. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't go through it, so I may have slipped there, but please don't shoot me. But you have to go through basic training. And we all go through basic training. In spiritual realm, you know, read your Bible. You know, I wish we had people that were interested enough to do Sunday school. Remember when you used to do Sunday school? Years ago, they had Sunday school. And I wish that we had, you know, oh, what was that verse back there? Faithful men and women who are able to teach it to others. I wish we had that going on. I have one, and you know what? The truth of it is people don't want it anymore. You know, and I'm not saying we have to go back to Sunday school, but we do need to study the Word of God. I know one or two guys that, like, one guy, all he does, he doesn't go attend a church, but he goes to their Sunday school program, then he leaves before the message. Because all he wants is to learn more. I'm like, well, I'm not going to condemn him, but stay for the service, man. I know another guy. You got a Bible study this week? What are you guys doing? Hey, you know, Bible study is important. I think there's a reason why that verse says study to show yourself proof. You need to study. You need to go through some basic training. Get God's word in you. You know what else you need to do? You need to get on your knees when you don't want to get on your knees. You need to pray. You need to learn how to pray. You need to eat some stuff that you don't want to eat, which means, you know what, you got to read this thing. Word of God is what? Bread of life. Basic training. If you're still in basic training, God bless you. You're going to get to a place where you're going to be able to fight. You're going to get to a place where you understand it, where you're strong in the Lord. But you know what? You can't stay in basic training. Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles and oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. How many times does the military allow you to go through basic training? I don't know if they let you go through more than once. Two times? Okay, so they have a little grace. Who was in twice? Oh, you didn't? Okay, so two times. So if you don't get it the first time, you get another shot. But you know what? You got to make it. There's certain time limits in basic training, isn't there? You got to be able to run a mile so fast. You got to be able to climb whatever it is they climb so fast. You know, they have this whole obstacle course that you got to cross that line at the right time or you're out. I watched this thing one time about Navy SEALs. And they got to run down this beach with their gear on and these boots. And anybody ever run in the sand with army boots on? That's probably not a joy. And they have so many minutes to make it back. I don't know if it's a 3-mile run or 6 miles, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not a Navy SEAL, but I was just watching this thing. And this poor guy, you see him. He's like within 100 yards and he's coming and the tickets are... The seconds are ticking down, and he's coming, and the seconds are going, coming. It ran out, and he was like right there. Sorry, you're out. Wow. Yes, brother. Wow. Amen. And you know what? That's a good point. That's a very good point. Thank you for that. If you didn't hear him, what he was talking about was a gentleman he knows that was gone from the service for how long? 10 years? Had to go back to basic training again, because when you're gone for a certain amount of time, you need to be retrained. Anybody ever backslide? Anybody ever walk away from the church? Yeah, it's important to do just that. Go back and be taught those principles again, those first oracles of God, because, you know, it's those principles, it's that training right at the start that you're going to be able to rely on for the rest of the war, for the rest of your tour of duty. And guess what? When we become a Christian, that tour, we're all lifers. You understand that? I hope you're planning on being a lifer in the army of God. No, you know, in our army, it can be 2, 4, 6 years, whatever it is, and okay, I'm done, get out. That's not the way it works with God. You become a soldier for God, you're a lifer. But guess what? Your tour isn't forever. It's only while we're here. Once we'll end our tour when we see him face to face in heaven. But anyway, basic training. Don't stay there. Everybody gets assigned a duty and a position. Every good soldier gets a duty and gets a position, right? You have a job to do. The Bible says, Ephesians 4:11, we've covered this. He himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's us. It's not just me. That's us. We all have a position. Now, you may feel like, I don't think I was trained to be any of them. Yeah, you've been in training for somebody, for one of those. Sometimes we don't recognize what our training does for us. You know, I did this myself when I was in high school. What am I ever going to use this stuff for? Well, you know what? Maybe you're not going to actually use that stuff, but what you're learning is how to learn. And so as we're going through our basic spiritual training and we're learning all this, well, I don't know why I'm going to ever use this. Well, guess what? The day's going to come when that's important, and God will use it in your life to help you become a good warrior. And so we all get assigned a duty and a position. And we all need to carry out the orders that he gives us without wavering. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He who promised is faithful. Hold fast to what God has given you to do. And you know, I heard a message not too long ago that was talking about what's your calling. And you know, were you called to be a checkout clerk at Tops? Maybe. You know, we don't always recognize the call on our life. We all think, oh, you know, I need to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Well, you know what? You can do that. You can be one of those and be called to the checkout line at Tops. Do you know that? What is it that you love to do? You love, love, love to do. Some people love to do hair. Do it for Jesus Christ. Some people love to grow grapes. Do it for Jesus Christ. Some people love to lay floors. Do it for Jesus Christ. Some people love to tear down the world, Billy. Do it for Jesus Christ. Whatever it is that God has put in your heart to do, do it for him. And don't waver your calling, whatever that calling may be. We've all get an excitement. And you know what? We all need to fight to the end. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Do not quit. Do not quit. You do not want to honor a dishonorable discharge from the army of God. You do not want that. How do you get a dishonorable discharge? You quit. When we're in the heat of battle, we need everybody at the front line doing their job. We don't need anybody saying, you know what, I'm kind of done with this, I'm going home. Can't do that. God needs you in this army. We need you in this army. You fight to the end. And it's important for the soldier to hold his own in order that he does not slow down the whole unit. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We all need to be able to stand on our own. Do you understand that? Because what happens when a soldier falls in battle? Well, you know what? Now there's one less fighting, which means your force isn't as strong. Not only that, those who should be fighting in the battle now have to take care of the fallen. And I'm not saying it's their fault that they got wounded. And yeah, we do have wounded people that need to be cared for in the kingdom of God. But the truth of it is, we need to be those who are strong enough in the Lord. You know, spiritual battle is a little different than physical battle. Because Jesus Christ is the one who props us. Jesus Christ is the one who heals us and gives us power to go on, helps us to stand. And so we take up the whole armor of God, and we can talk, that's a whole message we've preached before and probably will preach again. But we need to do that, each and every one of us, for ourselves, in order that we stand, in order that the army is strong. So think about, you know, how are you doing as a soldier? Are you a good soldier in the kingdom of God? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hold on to that to which you were called. I am so grateful that you and I are called into the kingdom of God. And you know, but the thing of it is, we have to always understand it's a battle. It's a war. And we are the soldiers. Each and every one. And I'm going to close with one more verse. And then we're going to open this altar. And I'm going to start doing this more often. You know, I've never been a big altar call guy. But the truth of it is, what the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the high heavenly places. What's that talking about? Yeah, there's a lot of our battle that's fought and done, you know, out in the battlefield, you know, the workplace, the family, here and there. But the bulk of our fighting needs to be on our knees. And so I want to open this altar. I want you all, we're starting a new year. Next week, the Assemblies of God, next Sunday night, they're having a prayer service up at Greece that I may go and attend with a bunch of other pastors. If you'd like to go to that, let me know and I'll get you the directions. But that's going to be next week. The Assemblies of God, they usually, I don't know why they don't use this week, but the following week will be the official Assemblies of God week of prayer. But I want to start praying right here, right now, today. Because this is a battle, and we are the soldiers. And the way we win this fight is by fighting the way that God wants us to fight in prayer. And so if you would, stand with me. And I'm going to open this altar, and if anyone would like to come up and just get engaged in some warfare right here, right now, I want to encourage you to do that. And what we're going to be praying for is we're going to be praying for, yes, one another. We're going to be praying for people that we know that are sick to be healed. We're going to be praying for people that we know that are lost to be saved. We're going to be praying that God will fill this church and continue building this army so that we can go out and take this city for Jesus Christ. Will you join me in this battle and in this fight? And I want to kind of make this a common thing at the end of our services where we actually take part in the warfare right here. Amen. And so if you are willing, please come and join us around this altar. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for your calling, not just on my life, but on the life in the heart and the soul of each and every believer that stands in this place this morning. I thank you, God, that you have not left us defenseless, but that you have trained us. You have given us your word to train us, and you have given us other believers to hear and to follow and to see their example, faithful men and women who through the years have gotten on their knees and prayed for us and won battles for us. And so, God, today we bow to you and we call upon the name of Jesus Christ to move in our lives, to move in the lives of our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our enemies, our co-workers, everyone, God. Help us to be the soldiers that you have called us to be. If there are any that are wounded and broken, I pray you heal them and bring them back to the front line. Lord, I know that we're going to suffer hardship. I pray that whatever that hardship is, that we would be able to endure so that we can stand. Father, I pray more love. I pray more power. I pray more of you in each of our lives. And God, as we pray around this altar, I pray, God, I ask that in the heavenlies, that darkness would fall and the light would shine bright. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. And the weapon that we're yielding this morning is your word. The weapon that we're yielding this morning are these prayers around this altar. And so, God, I pray for more salvations to be seen and experienced. I pray, Lord God, for more healings to take place. I pray for more men and women of God to stand up and become the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers that you have called us all to be. God, if we need to be retrained, then retrain us. But, Lord, let us move on. Let us go forward and not just stay where the milk is, but to move on to solid food. And to move on to become warriors, mighty men and women of valor in your kingdom. God bless each one in this place today. I pray an encouragement. Every wound, let it be bound. Every fear, let it be cast aside as faith arises. But God, as we put on that full armor, let us stand. Let us stand for everything that you stand for. And let us, God, win this city. Let us go forth with power. Holy Spirit, come and anoint and empower and move each and every heart in this place this morning. That we would be the good soldier, not entangled in this life, but Lord, focused, trained, moving forward for you. I thank you, God, for the army that you have in this building right now. Let it grow in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Sure. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Amen. God bless you all. Happy New Year, everyone. I am looking so forward. Testimony. Who's got a testimony? Sandy's got a testimony. Share it with us, sister.
14 years ago, my ex-son-in-law took off with my grandson. We haven't laid eyes on him or heard from him at all. I have a little altar in my bedroom with his picture that, you know, we can constantly pray for him and everything. A couple different times, Tila got close to seeing him, but it got taken away from her. And she kind of gave up because she thought he's of age now. He's 19. He should be, if he wants to see her, he would call. Well, he did. He got a hold of her a week ago.
Awesome.
She's with him.
Praise God.
But we need prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, last time she went down there and thought she was going to see him, her ex-husband had her locked in a room, and she didn't get to see him.
Mm.
But she sent me a couple texts, and she said, I'm with Cruz. He's beautiful.
Mm.
He cooked me dinner. And then I hadn't heard from her for a couple days again.
Mm.
But
Amen.
14 years of praying and standing on God's word that he would come back or be in contact with her. So I'm just praising God for that.
Amen. Let's pray for Tila. Father, I thank you that you have reunited this mom with her child. I pray for their safety. God, I pray for the hearts of everyone involved, that they would be softened. Lord, I pray for love. You said love never fails. I pray for love to overtake that situation. Lord, let this reunion be just the first fruits of many, many opportunities to gather together. But God bless Tila in this situation and her son and all those involved. I pray for cooperation. I pray, God, just for the situation to be right in every way. Bless her as she travels and keep her safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. please, take some cake. It's still in the back there. If you haven't had any, go ahead and take some home. Have a blessed week. Continue praying for Sunny. And I thank you for signing that card. Love you all. Have a great day.